Imagine living under a system, a religious system where we want to serve God. We love God, we want to honor Him and obey Him, but this is very difficult to do. It's difficult to do because when we commit a sin, when we somehow break one of God's laws, we are told that we cannot partake of the Lord's Supper until we confess our wrongdoing to a priest. After that priest, we are told, here's our confession. And after we do the things that he tells us to do, we come back to him and he says, now our sins are forgiven. Can you imagine living under a religious system where a human being, someone just like us, sets the conditions for our pardon? There have been people who have actually had to live under, who have actually had to abide by this kind of system and be obedient to it. There have been throughout history, human history, people who said that we need to confess our sin to a priest. But is this what we find in the Bible? Well, this is an important question because as we look at our day and time, there are still people. In fact, Romans 3:23 says all accountable people sin. They break God's laws. And because there is that sin, because we commit those errors, those wrongs, there is a desire to be forgiven or somehow find resolution. As we think about trying to resolve the problem of sin, there are some people who look at that problem and they say, well, we're going to try to resolve our sin. We're going to try to make up for our bad deeds by engaging in some kind of good work program. Others may try to say, we're going to offer some financial resources. We're going to pay some money. We're going to give some money to absolve ourselves of wrong if they're not offering time to a secular religious group. Then there are the people who, because of sin, they end up on a psychiatrist's couch. Or they are prescribed some medicine to deal with sin. The Bible has some examples, in fact, about 20 examples of people who didn't go to a priest and say, I've sinned, but they did use this interesting phrase. They said, I have sinned. They publicly recognized their sin, they publicly admitted their sin, and this morning, as well as tonight, we want to look at some of the places where we find this expression. What happened when people said, I've sinned? Who was being confessed to? Was this sufficient? How did the people respond to God after they acknowledged their sin? One of the times, maybe the first time that we find in our Bibles, at least this is true for the ASV, we find someone saying, I've sinned, is found in the book of Exodus. Going back to Exodus chapter 9. Now you may remember that by the time in Exodus chapter 9, the Hebrew people were still in the land of Egypt, and they were thus in a state of bondage. God was in the process of sending multiple plagues on the Egyptian people to encourage Pharaoh to let the Israelites go. And in Exodus 9, verse 13, beginning here, we have some information about a plague of hail. Exodus 9, verse 23 indicates that with this hail plague, there was also lightning. And it seems like this lightning was beyond what they normally experienced. Then as we continue to read through the account, we find that the damage from this hail plague was so bad. Exodus 9, verse 25 says that the land of Egypt, the entire land of Egypt, was in ruins. The hail was so bad, this verse says, it even broke the trees. The land of Goshen, however, Exodus 9, verse 26, avoided the hail. From Exodus 9, if you turn here, let's see what we find in verse 27. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned. Now this is the ruler of Egypt. He comes out, he doesn't confess to a priest. He comes out to Moses and Aaron, and he says, I have sinned this time. Jehovah is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Can you imagine a ruler, a president, a king, some great official coming out, and in this case, Pharaoh wasn't elected, and he says he was considered to be a god. And he says, I have sinned. Even though this was the Old Testament era, Moses didn't say, go confess your sin to a priest. Go find an Egyptian, go find some other priest and confess your sin to him. No, rather than confess to a priest like is often done now, Pharaoh chose to ask help from God's true servants. He chose to confess his sin in a somewhat public way to Moses and Aaron. Well, verse 28, if we were to read that next verse, we would find here that Moses and perhaps Aaron were asked to entreat Jehovah for forgiveness on the behalf of Pharaoh. Now the storm of hail, the plague of hail was stopped by God's power. But did Pharaoh's confession, I have sinned, cause a result in the fact that things were going to change for him? Did he become a better man? No. As we continue to look at Exodus chapter 9, we find that this man was not going to let Pharaoh, or was not going to let Israel go, at least not at this time. Verse 30 says, but as for thee and thy servants, I know, Moses is speaking, I know that ye will not fear Jehovah your God. Moses says, I've heard your confession. I know what you said. but I also know what's in your heart. I also know that you are not going to let the people of God go. Well, this is significant because when we think about people today and they confess their sin, a person might come and say, I've sinned. I've messed up. I've committed wrong. I've sinned against God. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against my children. I've sinned against my family. I've sinned against perhaps the entire nation. There are people who will acknowledge sin, but they, for whatever reason, are not motivated to deal with sin. And this is what we see in the life of Pharaoh. There are people who, when it comes to sin, it's almost a hush money approach. Oh yes, I've sinned. I've done what's wrong, but I really don't want to deal with it. So let me say a little of this, or let me do a little of this, pay a little money, and then hopefully that will deal with my sin. Hopefully that will just disappear. The problem will be resolved. Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 9 is a great example of someone who acknowledged his sin, but there is no desire on his part or her part, as it may be in our day and time, to really deal with the behavior, the bad behavior. Sin does not need to be confessed to a priest, as we see in our day and time, so often practiced. But sin does need to be dealt with in an honest and forthright way. One might confess sin, and maybe even confess sin in a public way, but there's no Bible authority for having to confess that before a priest. And if we, as we look at sin, maybe as we confess sin, we don't deal with it in a forthright and upright and an honest way. Don't expect God to allow it to be successfully resolved. Now you might think, well, okay, that's interesting about Pharaoh. What's the next example? Well, let's not move from him quite yet. Let's stay with Pharaoh for a little bit. After the plague of hail in Exodus chapter 9, we come to another plague in Exodus chapter 10. In Exodus chapter 10, we now move from hail to locust. And before we get to the locust plague, let's see what we find at the end of Exodus 9. Looking now at Exodus 9, the 34th verse. It's the second to the last verse in the chapter. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, the Bible says he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. When it comes to sin, a person may deal with it in a very insincere way. Or they might say the right things. They might say the right things to the right people. But Pharaoh comes along and he makes this great admission. This ruler says, I have sinned. Please forgive me. Well, that was a great confession. But now as we look at Exodus 9, verse 34, we find that that was really only on the surface. There was no depth. There's no indication that this confession of sin was sincere or anything like that. If this ruler had been sincere in confessing a sin, would it not make sense that he would have been a little more specific? Rather than just come out and say the words, well, I've sinned, would one not expect that he would have said something like, I've sinned against God? I've sinned against the people of God? I know that the God that you serve wants the Hebrew slaves to be released. I've refused to do that. I'm guilty of enslaving your people, Moses. I'm guilty of abusing and mistreating your people, Moses. I've been a selfish, self-centered, ungodly man. I've exalted myself to the point of being God. I've sinned in all kinds of ways. That's not what Pharaoh did. What we see with this man is not unlike our day and time. Still, in our time, is it not true that people will dance around the subject of sin? Rather than come out and admit, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against this group. I've sinned in these specific ways. There are people who will show up and say, well, if I've offended you in some way, ever have anybody come and do that? They know that they've offended. There's no doubt in the world that they've offended. But if I've offended you in some way, please forgive me. There is a refusal, just like Pharaoh, to admit some kind of specific wrongdoing. And not only might we do that with another individual, but as we think about acknowledging sin, a Christian might try that same maneuver, that same technique with God. Let's say that a Christian has lied. Rather than confess that lie to God, the Christian might say, well, God, you know, I've got various shortcomings and wrongdoings, and please forgive me of my sins. God knows. He knew about that lie. He knew about that other sin. But people will sometimes try to dance around, skate around, not deal with sin. Shifting blame, avoiding responsibility, these things are by no means new. Pharaoh may have in his day and time been an excellent politician, because here he seems to, in many ways, skillfully acknowledge his wrong, but at the same time, skirting the responsibility, trying to make sure that everything is okay. And then when that last verse was read, Exodus 9, verse 34, he sinned yet more? He certainly did not have true repentance. The story of Pharaoh, his confession of sin, is not only in Exodus 9, but it continues in Exodus 10. After that hail plague, as I mentioned, Exodus 10 talks about the plague of locusts. And this plague, when the locusts showed up, things were bad. Notice, if you will, from Exodus chapter 10, what we find in verse 15. For they, these will be the locusts. They covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened. And they did eat every herb of the land and all the fruit of the tree which the hail had left behind. And there remained not any green thing, either tree or herb of the field, through all the land of Egypt. Now this plague was bad. And it was so bad that it was one more reminder to Pharaoh that he was on the wrong side of things. So this plague, Exodus 10, moving down now to the information in verses 16 and 17, caused this ruler to act once again. 16 says, then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste, didn't waste any time. And he said, here's that expression again, I have sinned. And this time he not only says, I have sinned, but he says, I have sinned against Jehovah your God. And then you notice that next conjunction, and against you. I've sinned. Sinned against you, the people of Israel, as well as Jehovah your God. Now therefore I forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once, and entreat Jehovah your God that he may take away from me this debt only. Now this time, in Exodus 10, the confession of sin becomes a little more specific. Pharaoh, as I mentioned, says he has sinned against Jehovah. Well, that statement is right. But you know, that statement is not only right for Pharaoh, it's also right for us. When we sin, our transgressions, our wrongs are certainly in some respects directed against other people, at least on some occasions, but ultimately every sin, every wrong is directed against God. So the statement in Exodus 10 is certainly applicable to our day and time. Thus, if we are going to be forgiven, we need to make that confession to God. It needs to at least include him rather than some human being who claims to be a priest. And Pharaoh also said, I've sinned against you. Moses, Aaron, and presumably the rest of the Hebrew nation. It's possible to sin against another person. It's certainly very easy to do something that hurts another individual. And when we realize that we've messed up, whether it's interacting with another person, or maybe it is our relationship with God, we need to seek forgiveness. Now at this point, things were not looking so swell for Pharaoh. Things were so bad because of the plagues, the word death is used in verse 17. And if you look carefully at this verse, you also find here that Pharaoh says, forgive me just this once. I find that statement interesting. One of the most common words associated with sin is once. We find in our day and time, people that will mess up. They'll make a mistake. Husband, wife, son, dad, daughter, mom, whatever the relationship is, and the person says, just give me one more chance. I know I've been wrong. I know I've sinned, but please give me one more opportunity. And if you give me one more chance, if you give me one more opportunity, I will do better next time. There are some cases where a person is given a second chance, and because of that second chance, they begin to do what's right. But all too often, a person is given a second opportunity, or maybe even a third chance. Oh, I've sinned, and just let me have another crack at this. And that next, that additional opportunity is not enough. And a person that says, well, I need a fourth chance, and I need a fifth chance, and I need a hundredth chance, and I need 1,000 chances. And it's the same story every time. Oh, I've sinned. Just give me one more opportunity, and I'll finally make it right. Well, Pharaoh tells us that there are some people who are just like that. Now, in Exodus 10, the Bible says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. This was not a miraculous act. Old preachers used to, and I think this was a wise move on their part, they used to say that the sun, it will harden clay, it also melts wax. Same sun, different effects on two different objects. We get different results from clay and wax. When it comes to sin, a similar thing is true. We have basically two choices when it comes to sin. If we're willing to confess it, we can either turn from it, or we can decide that we are going to somehow excuse it and we're going to live with it. We have two choices, two courses when it comes to sin. We can be like that wax when it hits the sun. We can acknowledge the sin, we can confess it, we can acknowledge it, and decide that we're going to try to clean things up this time and for the future. Or we can have that heart which is like clay, that heart which Pharaoh hardened when he was exposed to the message and the power of God. Well, we know what Pharaoh's response was. This man decided that sin was going to be the course that he was going to persist in. Oh, he confessed that he'd been wrong. But it was not a true, it was not really a sincere confession because he had that hard heart. Because of that hard heart, because he was not willing to deal with sin, a plague of darkness shows up on the land of Egypt. And then finally, to really get the attention of this man and the Egyptian people, there is the death of the firstborn. Then finally, Pharaoh dies. along with many of his countrymen. The next time we are confronted, convicted by sin, we have to make a choice. Are we going to be like the ruler of Egypt? Hopefully not, because he didn't fare well. A pagan ruler, Pharaoh, said, "I've sinned." And we can learn some things about this man from Exodus 9 and Exodus 10. But he's not the only character, he's not the only one in the Bible who used these special three words, "I have sinned." For today's lesson, we're going to think about another man quickly. And this second fellow is a fellow by the name of Balaam. Now, Balaam is not mentioned in the book of Exodus. The story about him is in Numbers chapter 22. Israel's on the move. They're out of Egypt. And they have reached the point where they are encamped on the plains of a place called Moab. Moab, of course, was the area where the Moabites lived. And the Moabites had a king. As this ruler, as this official, sees the Israelites coming into his area, he'd gotten a report. There had been some intelligence, if you will, that had given him some information about what the Hebrew people had done to the Amorites. The Amorites hadn't fared very well under the Israelites. And now that this nation of Israel, this conquering, this warring nation, this great mass of people was on the fringe of the Moabite kingdom, the Moabites were scared. The Moabites were terrified concerning what Israel could or maybe would do to them. Well, the Moabite king decided to try to protect his people, so he sent a message. And the message that was sent was delivered to a man named Balaam. Balaam was a fellow who was a prophet. And the king of the Moabites made it clear that he was willing to pay some money. In fact, quite a bit of money. The Moabite king asked Balaam to curse the children of Israel. He thought if that was done, then of course Israel would no longer be able to continue their march into his territory. Balaam went to God. And Balaam asked if it was permissible for him to curse the nation of Israel. And God said, "No, I will not let you do that." Well, the king receives that information back, and he's a fairly persistent fellow, so he sends a second request to Balaam. And there's an even bigger delegation the second time, a more important delegation that goes back. And Balaam, again, agrees to talk with God about the matter. And this time God says, "I want you, Balaam, to go with the delegation. The people that have been sent to you, you go back with them." And Balaam, as he goes back with the delegation, he's riding his donkey. And as he's on that donkey, the donkey sees what is referred to, or who is referred to, I might say, as the angel of the Lord. Balaam doesn't see the angel of the Lord, but the donkey does. And because of the angelic appearance, because of the special appearance, the donkey goes off the road, veers off the road, and Balaam beats the donkey. Well, things are righted, and then the journey continues, and now a second time. Balaam's on the donkey, and this time, because of what the donkey does, Balaam's foot is injured. And Balaam's not happy about that injured foot, so he goes out and he begins to beat the donkey a second time. And then they get underway again. And now there is a third time, a third incident with the donkey, and the third time the donkey lays down under Balaam, and the prophet is once again unhappy, so he beats the animal for a third time. Well, after that third beating, Balaam is finally brought into the donkey's understanding of the situation, and Balaam realizes that the donkey is saving his life. The donkey is the one who is rescuing him from death. It's made clear that the donkey saw the angel of Jehovah as an adversary. And had Balaam continued, he would have been killed. When Balaam began to realize, when he began to understand God's displeasure, he says these words in Numbers chapter 22, verse 34. The exact same words that Pharaoh used. Balaam said, "I have sinned." Now when we think about Pharaoh and people like him, we might expect sin from them. And maybe a confession, maybe an acknowledgement, maybe not. But what about sin from those who are supposed to serve God? People like Balaam in Numbers chapter 22, verse 34. Over the years, it's been made abundantly clear to me that when new Christians, when young Christians, when immature Christians see sin in the life of an older saint, sometimes they respond with shock. It's possible, maybe as a younger Christian, we can remember how we looked up to another brother or sister. And when we became aware of the fact that that older Christian sin, it may have just about broken our heart. It might have shocked us beyond imagination. It's possible for us as a Christian to look at some fellow members of the church and to think that that brother, that sister, that individual walks on water. He or she never sinned. Well, if you have that view, today you're going to be enlightened. Elders sin. There is no flawless elder. Preachers sin. There is no preacher which lives above sin. that Bible class teacher that we love and respect and value so much, the Bible class teacher that always seems to have a smile on the face when the kids walk into the class, that just seems to know what to say, that Bible class teacher will sin from time to time. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all, speaking of accountable people, Jews and Gentiles, all have sinned. And then Paul went on to say, Romans 3:23, and fall short. There is a present tense. No matter who we are, no matter how well, no matter how righteously we try to live, we are going to, at times, sin. When it comes to sin, we're dealing with a serious problem. A problem which is so serious, so significant, that people, religious people like Balaam, secular people like Pharaoh, will come out and say, I have sinned. A third example, a third character in the Bible who used the same expression, I've sinned, is found in the book of Joshua. Now, you may remember that fairly early in the book of Joshua, we have that information about the fall of Jericho in Joshua chapter 6. And then in Joshua chapter 7, we have some additional information. The people of Israel were coming against a city that maybe we're a little less familiar with, the city of Ai. God's people decided that they were going to go against Ai with a smaller force. Joshua 7 verse 3 tells us how the people thought a force of 2,000 to 3,000 people would probably be sufficient. Israel engaged the people of Ai in battle, and they were optimistic that everything was going to go great. Well, according to Joshua chapter 7, that's not quite how things worked out. After Israel became involved in this battle, the Bible tells us in Joshua 7 verse 4 that Israel had to flee. Joshua inquired as to why things had not gone so well. And here is Joshua 7 verse 11, what God said to him. He said, Israel has sinned. Yea, and they have even transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. Yea, they have taken of the devoted thing, they have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have even put it among their own stuff. God's will had been violated. God said, if you will, there's sin in the camp, and this has got to be rectified. That transgressor needs to be found, he needs to be uncovered, and God says, I've got a process that we're going to use to show you, to determine who it is that's guilty. And God said, once we uncover the guilty party, then there's going to be punishment. Punishment by death. This part of the story we pick up a few verses later in Joshua chapter 7, verse 15. And it shall be he that is taken with a devoted thing. God says he needs to be burnt with fire. He and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of Jehovah, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. Well, as the process unfolds, it becomes clear that there is a fellow who is guilty. His name is Achan, and you know, Achan makes a confession. You can probably guess what the confession is, but let's get it from the Bible, from the text, Joshua chapter 7, verse 20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, of a truth, and hear those words again, I have sinned. I've sinned. I've sinned against Jehovah, the God of Israel, and thus have I done. Out of the three examples that we've looked at today, Pharaoh, Balaam, Achan, three unique examples when we stand them side by side. Which one of them fared well? None of them. They all fared poorly. What about us? As we sit here this morning, are we able to say those same three words when it comes to our life? I have sinned. If we're old enough to know right from wrong, if we're old enough to be guilty of sin, then Romans 3 verse 23 assures us that yes, those three words are also applicable to us. And if we're old enough to be accountable for our sins, if we're old enough to recognize the fact that I have sinned, we have sinned, what's our reaction to sin going to be? Some will try to hide it, like Achan, at least for a while. Don't want to deal with it. Let's pay some money, let's do some good works, let's get some drugs, let's sit on the psychiatrist's couch. I just don't want to deal. I don't want to face my sins. It's just too painful. It's just too difficult. Another person will say, well, I'm willing to face it, but I'm just stubborn. I'm like Balaam. I'm just not going to be willing to turn no matter what happens. I'll just beat my donkey. I'll just resist this to the best of my ability. And then others, they'll say, oh yes, I've sinned. Everybody sins. They have the attitude like Pharaoh demonstrated. Those are not honest. Those are not forthright or upright responses when it comes to sin. The Bible response when it comes to sin is recognize that I've sinned and then to say, I want to clean it up. I want to clean it up by becoming a Christian. A special priest can't help us. Only God's Word can. And the person who's not become a Christian can say, I believe that Christ is the Lamb of God. the one who was given for my sins, the only one that can take away my sins because he's the only one that has that power. And to get out of sin, I'm going to turn. I'm going to change my life around. I'm going to do what the Bible refers to as repent. I'm going to acknowledge that Christ is my only spiritual hope. And then I'm going to make a decision to have every single sin washed, wiped, taken away by the blood of Christ. Revelation 1:5, Acts 22, verse 16 tells us that that is done by baptism. And then after we've done that, Romans 3:23 assures us that we will at times continue to sin in some way. And God says, I have a plan for you if you will become a Christian. Acknowledge it. Recognize it. Have contrition. Do your best to turn from it. And continue to walk in the light. What a great promise. This morning, as we, in just a moment, sing the invitation song, think about those three words. I have sinned. If you're not a Christian, but you're old enough to become one, today is the right day to say, I know what I've done wrong. I want to be forgiven. I want to do that today. And if we have become a Christian, those three words are still maybe ringing in our ears as we were coming here this morning. I have sinned. I've told a lie, had some bad thoughts, done some bad things, failed to do some bad things. God's forgiveness, if we are already a child of God, is also available to us if we will accept it. That's maybe a private matter between Him and us, and that's something that we can resolve easily, quickly, and it's the right thing to do. If we can help you in any way, but especially this morning with those three words, I've sinned, we let us know and do that now as we stand and sing the selected song.